So 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to start off and we are going to read starting in verse 12. If you are just joining us, or if this is your first time in a couple of weeks, we've been walking through the book of 1 Peter. And one of the things that 1 Peter keeps trying to tell these believers in the first century is he keeps trying to tell them that there's nothing wrong with them if life is not going well. He's trying to breathe life into these believers who are experiencing persecution, hardships. They're going through hard times, and he's trying to help them understand the reality that Jesus is king, even when our experiences may tell us different. That God is in control, we can trust him, especially when life is hard. And so that's what we've been walking through. And so he's continuing on with that mindset here as he's trying to encourage these believers. And so let us read 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 12. And they say this, they say, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will be the outcome of the ungodly and the sinner?" And he concludes by saying this, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." There is a lot in that text, and I want to give you just the main idea. So if you remember one thing, I want you to remember this from our time in God's Word today. It is this, that hardship is an invitation to experience God exactly as you need him. That hardship is an invitation to experience God exactly as you need him. And so if you're trying to understand this passage for yourself, if you're leaning into it, one of the questions that may arise within you might be, well, why does God even allow suffering? And so that would be a really good question for you. If you have that, then good, you're doing Bible study. That's really good. That's how we understand Scripture. We lean into those things and we try to see what the Bible says about it and what can it teach us about God in our questions, right? And so this is a really big deal, this idea of suffering. And so I'm just going to be just 100% honest with you that I don't have the ability to be able to articulate myself well enough on that. Okay. But if that is an issue for you and you really are struggling with wrestling with this idea of God because you can't reconcile it with the pain and suffering in the human experience, then come talk to me afterward. I'll point you to some really smart dudes that can articulate themselves. All right. But what I want us to do, we're going to lean into this because suffering is in this passage. What I want us to do, I'm going to just going to have us just breeze through the Bible and see, does God just want us to just deal with suffering? Does he just want us to sweep it under the carpet and pretend like it doesn't happen? Or what is the Bible communicating about our experience with suffering? And so that's what we're going to kind of lean into today. But before we do that, we just need to talk about the reality of just suffering. Hard times. We just got to hear about Precious and the things that she deals with on a day-to-day basis. And so her level of hardship physically is a lot different than mine, right? But is God less good for her than he is for me? And so it's all these things. You're like, whoa, I didn't expect to kind of lean into these things, Chris. That wasn't ready for that. The Bible is trying to tap into our questioning. God is trying to get us to lean into the things that we're feeling and see how he can answer them, right? I mean, this desire of like, why is pain and suffering even here? That's tapping into something that God placed into us that's longing for life to be different than it is. It's this longing that life shouldn't be this way, God. And what would God's response be? Yeah, it's not supposed to be that way. And one day he's going to make everything right. But I want us to be able to lean into this, because what happens is a lot of times we use this idea of like, well, why would God allow suffering? Why am I going through this? Suddenly, if you begin to peel the layers back, you're not asking this big question of, well, why does God allow suffering for anybody? Suddenly, all of a sudden, if you peel back and you try to boil this down and you're questioning, you're not asking about why is anybody suffering over there. What you're asking is, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? God, why am I experiencing this? Why did you allow this to happen to me? Why did I get this diagnosis? Why did you allow that person to walk out on me? Why? And listen, those are really hard questions. And as a church family, we do not run from them. Ask those questions. But unlike the rest of the world, we do not run away from God when we ask those things. But what Peter is trying to do is he's trying to help us understand that when we feel those things, that is an invitation for us to press into our relationship with God. When we're feeling those things, when life lets us down, this is an invitation for us to experience God how we need him personally in that moment. All right? So what does the Bible have to say about suffering? The beauty of Scripture is that the Bible doesn't paint a picture of if you just believe in God that everything's going to be all puppies and fairies, that everything's just going to be all good. Well, what is the Scripture leans into this reality that this life is broken, right? What does Romans 8 say? Romans 8 tells us that even creation itself is groaning. It's crying out to God, like, God, why are we so broken? So if creation is crying out, that aren't we? Right? Life is not the way it should be. So what the Bible does for us is it's written in a way to help all of us see how God desires to meet us in the middle of our mess. The Bible is written in a way for all of you to be able to see that God's not very far from you. That God wants to meet you in your pain. That God wants to meet you in your suffering. That God wants to prove himself to be God in your life. That's what the Bible does. It's beautiful. It helps us be able to navigate life because we're not on our own in our suffering, but it is God that walks with us. The Bible doesn't hide the reality of life, but the Bible was very much influenced by pain and hard times. And the Bible is actually a collection of books written from people who are suffering, who go through hard things. And yet time and time again, God proves himself to be God in their lives, right? But the way that you're looking at me, you don't believe me, so we'll kind of do this. What does the Bible say cover to cover about pain and suffering? Right? Start at the beginning. Was everything good for Noah? Okay, wow. You gotta give me a little bit more than that. I mean, no, it wasn't, okay? It wasn't good for Noah, right? But what? Noah stepped out and believed in God in the midst of everything being against him. And what happened? God proved himself for Noah, right? How about Job? I mean, Job, no one would wish whatever happened to Job to happen to anyone. And yet was God less God in the midst of Job's suffering? No. God, Job pressed in and he argued. He asked these questions that we're talking about today. Like, God, why are you doing this? What's going on? And the beauty of it is that Job teaches us that when we're asking those things, at least we're close enough to God to ask him. And so then when Job is ready to hear, then God's like, okay, Job, let me help you see. And then he's like, whoa, blows his mind. And then God is faithful to him. How about Daniel? How about David? How about Hosea? I mean, all the accounts of the Old Testament. Did God not show up time and time again to help people through their hard times? What's the book of Psalms? Is everything perfect in the author's lives in the book of Psalms? I mean, you read Psalm 13 today and see if it makes you feel happy. How long, O Lord, are you going to hide your face from me? I mean, how long, right? It's this asking of these questions. It's brokenness. It's this flawed experience that we all experience. And it's saying, man, this world is broken. But God, where are you? And God shows up. How about the New Testament? Is it any different in the New Testament? Right? How about John the Baptist? Right? Did he have a unique calling? Yeah, he did. He preached. He understood things about the kingdom, and it led him to jail. And then to be beheaded. But God was faithful to him, and that led him to a place where he's experiencing his faith, and it became real. How about the disciples? Right? On Sunday afternoons, the high schoolers were going through the book of John, and we're almost done, and now Jesus is about to leave this earth, and he keeps telling the disciples, and he's like, hey, I'm going to leave. Like, I'm not going to be here anymore. Right? So then he's like, and after I leave, you have to keep the faith, right? But I'm not going to be here, but keep the faith. And also, by the way, that your life is about to get really bad. And almost all of you are going to die. But hold on, right? And so if you've never thought about it like that, it's kind of like wild, the faith of the disciples. I mean, it's crazy. They walked with Jesus, but yet they still kept the faith when he wasn't there. I mean, that's crazy. But they pressed into God in the midst of that hard, confusing time. And now guess what? You and I are here, and we have the account of the scripture because of their faithfulness in the midst of hard times. How about our Messiah? Was his life perfect? No, he endured suffering to be able to accomplish salvation for us. So he modeled for us that this life isn't going to go perfect for us. But if we press into faith, there is much to be gained with our connection to God. See, it's in the hardship that we open ourselves up to experience God more fully for ourselves. So Peter is just summarizing what we just took time to walk through. The whole Bible is teaching us that hardship is an invitation for us to experience God exactly how we need him. And so what does he say? Verses 12 through 13. Let me read these one more time. It says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you. So what is he saying? Don't be surprised when life stinks. When life stinks. Not if, but when. When life gets difficult, when you have a trial, don't be surprised. And what does he say? He goes to say, when it comes upon you to test you. So what is it doing? When these hard times are coming, there's something going on in the hardship. There's something that we need to do, something that needs to be pruned off of us, something that we need to learn about God to test us, right? To prove us. Why are these things coming? To prove us. And we're not supposed to be surprised when, as if something strange is happening to us. And then he goes on to say what? Rejoice. Rejoice because we share in Christ's suffering so that we may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So what is he doing? What is Peter trying to do? Remember, Peter is trying to help us understand the reality that Jesus is king, that Jesus is victorious. So in the realm of the forces of evil, we saw just a couple weeks ago, who's king? I told you I need something from you. In chapter 3, Jesus went and proclaimed victory to the forces of darkness, right? So he proved himself through the resurrection to be God. And so now in the spiritual realm, Jesus is king. Right? And then last couple weeks, we've been walking through the fact of now you and I, when we believe that Jesus is king, now you and I, in our lives, we all have things waging war against us to try to get us not to believe in Jesus. So we're tempted and we're lured to be pulled away from the reality that Jesus is king. And we all struggle. We all have sin. We all have things pulling us away. And what Peter is saying is be careful for your soul for what is pulling you away from the reality. So Peter's saying the way you navigate life is to try to stay close to the king. Realize that the forces of the devil are trying to punk you. Realize that what they're trying to do is flash things in front of you to lead you away and astray from God. You think you're just doing things because you want to do things. Man, there's forces of darkness behind you just lulling you to sleep. And Peter's saying you don't have to live that way. Press into the Savior. And so now what Peter is saying today is saying, hey, the forces of the devil not only are content with trying to lull us with sin, but now they're trying to get us focused on our experience in life. So they're trying to get us to see like, man, this is happening to me. Oh man, I have to do this. I have to do this. Oh man, now I'm sick. Oh man, this is happening. And they're trying to get us to be able to see all these things going on around us to get our eyes off of the reality. They're trying to get us to focus on our experience and not our king. And what Peter just said is, man, when you go through these hard things, keep your eyes on Jesus because Jesus is king. Let me remind you. What did he say? He says, rejoice in your suffering so that you can be glad when his glory is revealed. What does that mean? When you make it through this suffering, you'll be able to rejoice in what the reality has been the whole time. Jesus will prove himself to be in control as you hold on. So he's saying, man, it's good for you to hold on, to press on, to believe in Jesus in the midst of your suffering, in your hardships, because you will rejoice when you've made it through the other side. It's beautiful. What is unique about times of suffering and hardship in our lives? It's a book that I would recommend to all of you. It's called Suffering. It sounded horrible. The book is actually really good. The book is called Suffering by Paul David Tripp. But this week, just reading through a little bit of it really helped me understand some things. But Paul Tripp says this. He says about hardship and suffering in our lives. Hardship is our unavoidable reminders that we are not in control. What's the purpose of hardship? It's a reminder to the fact that you're not God. You're not in control. You want to think you do. I want to think that I'm in control, but suffering, hardship, hard times, they're reminders that I have no control. He goes on to say that suffering exposes the delusion of personal autonomy and self-sufficiency. All that to say that suffering exposes that you ain't got jack. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. We need something. If I was all sufficient in myself, then I would never be sick. If I were sufficient in and of myself, I would literally never have any money problems. I would literally have all the perfect relationships in my life. I would never say a bad word. I would never, right? But the fact of hardships, suffering, they expose us to the fact that, hey, man, I'm not God. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. He goes on to say that suffering has the power to expose what you have been trusting all along. Suffering has the power to expose what you've been suffering or what you have been trusting all along. Right? So let's make that plain. So why is it a really big deal when there is a high school athlete that wants to go on and play D1 sports and they have all the offers coming in and all this stuff? They're doing really well. They got scouts looking out for them. All of a sudden, fluke accident on the field, and now they blew their ACL. Why is that a big deal for a student athlete at that stage? One, I mean, it just stinks on a human level. Now you got a bum knee, okay? But it's crushing to them. Why? Because their hopes, their expectations, their faith was in the fact that I'm going to go to school, that my body, my abilities are going to provide for me to be able to continue on. And now you're struck with the reality that you can't provide for yourself. And so this is huge. This is devastating for somebody. But what it's doing is it's exposing the fact that you've been trusting in yourself. You've been trusting in your own abilities. You've been doing all this stuff. And so what suffering has the ability to do in all of our lives is expose what have we been trusting, right? The point of it, like, it's not to make us feel horrible, but the point of it is to be able to help to see, man, what am I putting my trust in, and is it helping me get closer to God? We're not trying to make anybody feel horrible for where you are spiritually. I just want you to know that you can draw close to God, and there are things in your life that are keeping you back. And so sometimes suffering happens in our lives, and what it does is it exposes where our trust is. So some of us trust in our money way too much. We trust in our jobs. We trust in our relationships. We trust in whatever. Well, what happens when hardship comes? Where's your trust? Peter's saying, don't be surprised when these trials come to test you. But we need to see them as an invitation to be able to experience God. And so I've got this little thing, because I don't think, you guys aren't giving me very much feedback. So I'm up here in a room of a whole bunch of people just like staring. It's kind of weird. All right, so let's try to walk through this. I got this to help you understand. So look, you're just sitting here and you're enjoying life, right? Then all of a sudden you come to this reality that you understand that Jesus is Lord, okay? You've come to this, understand this reality that Jesus is Lord. You've put your faith and your trust in him, right? And so, but life doesn't just end there, okay? Then all of a sudden you got that big old block of suffering, okay? Big old portion of it. Suffering is in this life. And then all of a sudden now suffering isn't just out there, you see it in other people, but now suffering begins to attack you. And so what Peter is beginning to say, that when this happens to you, Jesus is your Lord and suffering happens, what Peter is trying to say is the reality for the believer is that we take that as an opportunity to press in, to grow closer to God in that moment. Suffering comes, it squeezes us. We realize that I can't do this on my own. I need God. So then we draw closer to God. We try to seek him. And what begins to happen? As we're spending time with God, then he begins to change us. He provides for us. Now we've made it through the suffering, and now we're changed as a result because we've gotten close to God. He's provided for us in our needs. And that's what Peter is saying. He's like, hey, it stinks. All of us experience this suffering. But what the believer has the ability to do is see that it is an invitation for us to experience God. And so therefore, when we have that understanding, we're able to then understand why Peter says we can rejoice in suffering. Right? Because we can know and we can call to our minds what Romans chapter 8 verses 28 and 29 say. We can believe that, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. In the midst of suffering, while it seems like you're about to lose and everything's crushing you, you can cling to this. If Christ is your Lord, you can understand that everything, even this hardship, is going to work out for our good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And then why? What is God up to? For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So what's the purpose of life? That every one of us would become more and more like Christ, that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus. Hardship is an invitation to experience God exactly as you need him. And this is the beauty of what the scripture is inviting us into. Is it's not just this thing of like, hey, God will meet you in some general sense of the way. But what Peter is saying is that when you go through hardship, when you go through persecution, when it feels like everything is against you in life and you press into God, what Peter is saying is that this is an opportunity for whatever you need for you to experience God for you. That's incredible. Because you don't get, when we're on those mountaintop experiences and everything's good in life, guess what? I don't feel like I need God because it's me. I did that, right? And don't look at me like that. You guys do the same thing, all right? But when we're in the pits of that darkness where we have no idea, where we feel like we have no idea what's happening, why God allowed this to happen, if we do that, if we press into God in those darkness, then what begins to happen is God meets us. So you experience God how you need him. If you need peace in that moment, then God provides it. Not some cheap knockoff that I can give you. Not some cheap knockoff that you drinking the liquor bottle is going to provide you. Not some cheap knockoff by you looking at something you shouldn't look at is going to provide. No, what this is saying is that when we reach out and press into God in our hardship, then God meets us and provides for us. Man, if you need healing, we should be running to the Lord first. If you need provision for some finances, don't just blab to everybody about how you need money. You need to run to the Lord and say, God, I need you to provide. So open my eyes. You provide. You do. So what Peter is saying is that in the midst of these hard situations, what we need to do is we need to see that as an invitation for us to experience God for ourselves. David Tripp, in his book that is so greatly titled Suffering, he goes on to say this, and you could follow along on the screen. The Bible never minimizes the harsh experiences of life in this terribly broken world. And in so doing, the Bible forces us out of denial and toward humble honesty. Scripture never looks down on the sufferer. Do you feel that? Do you hear that? Scripture never looks down on the sufferer. It never mocks his pain. It never turns a deaf ear to his cries, and it never condemns him for his struggle. But it presents to the sufferer a God who understands, who cares, who invites us to come to him for help, and who promises one day to end all suffering of any kind once and forever. And because of this, the Bible, while being dramatically honest about suffering, is at the same time gloriously hopeful. So in your suffering, where are you running? In your hard situations, when life is failing you, when that unexpected call comes, where are you running? What Peter is trying to do is he's trying to get all of us to be able to see that we have this big picture of God. He's inviting us to see God. What does verse 19 in 1 Peter 4 say? It says, therefore, let all of those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator. He said, God, I trust you. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all the broken dreams, in the midst of the broken body, in the midst of the divorce, in the midst of the affair, in the midst of whatever, what are we to do? To entrust our souls to God, our faithful creator. So what Peter is trying to do is he's trying to get all of us to just run to the Father. right? And so maybe based off of your faces, I convinced you of the fact that hardship is an invitation to be able to experience God. But how do we do that? I'm not just here interested in filling you with this stuff in your mind so you could be like, oh yeah, yeah, hardship. I could quote you what you said, Chris. Hardship is an invitation to be able to experience God. I don't care if you remember that. I just want you to experience it. Right? But how do we do that? We stop right here as a church way too much and just in this realm of the abstract. But what is stopping you from experiencing God in the midst of your hardship? Right? Peter tries to give us this bigger picture of God and his care for us as we continue reading in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says this. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Okay, so does it say if you just run to God that you'll be picked up out of your suffering right away? No, it's this trust. You run to the Lord and you understand, I trust you even though it doesn't make sense. And I know that you will pick me up out of my mess when it is the right time. And he continues on to say, he says, cast all of your anxieties on him, because why? He cares for you. So suddenly what Peter's saying is like, it's not just that there's this abstract God that might be off in the distance and you might be able to ask him for some magic powers. What he's saying is that this God cares for you. He sees what you're walking through and he says, you weren't designed to do this without me. So he's saying, man, stop trying to carry all your junk on your shoulders. And he says, trust those things with him. He says, lay all of your anxieties, all of your worries on the Father. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. He continues on. He says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. You're not alone in your suffering. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So what is Peter doing? He's trying to get us a bigger picture of God. He's trying to help us understand, man, we can trust him. So listen. What I just have to ask you as we close, what are you going to do with that invitation? So if hardship is an invitation for you to experience God, what are you going to do with that invitation? Let me ask it a different way, because you're looking at me at that funny face again. Are you too busy to respond to God's invitation? We could talk about sin all we want. Sin is keeping me from Jesus, and I understand that. But how is it that I can be convinced that God actually cares for me in my suffering? It's not by just like quick 1 minute reading on the Bible verse of the day. The way that we experience God is time with him. And so listen, what Peter is saying is like, man, hardships and our busy schedule, man, those are all things from the enemy just trying to lead us away from God. And so how do we do this? I mean, it's as simply complex as Psalm 46:10, which says, be still and know that I am God. So in your suffering, how is it that you can be still while you're running crazy? It doesn't say know God and then be still. It's that, man, there's this slowing down of our lives that we need to do so that we can, in our chaos around us, be able to remind ourselves of the truth. To remind ourselves, what is it Peter goes through all the time? And he's talking about prepare your minds, remember, do all these things, right? We can't do that if we're running. And so, just gonna ask for all of us to evaluate, man, are we too busy to experience God? Are we allowing just the forces of darkness to just fill our schedule so that we don't experience God the way that we need to right now? So literally, one of the holiest things that you can do this week is be able to carve out time, intentionally carve out time so that you are alone with God. And if you let some people down, send them to me. I'll answer the phone calls. I don't care. I'm from Jersey. I'm good. What is most important? Peter is saying, man, the way that we can navigate this life and this chaos is if we understand that God is on our side and that this suffering is temporary, that this is not my home, but that I have a home waiting for me in heaven with him, and I'm just on the journey there. But how do I remember those things? It's not by just being busy and doing and running around, all these good things, but they're keeping me away from all this God stuff I need to understand. They're keeping me away from experiencing God in my life. So I just want to ask you, man, are you too busy to experience God the way that you need to today? So if you're walking through something, what you need to hear is that God sees you and he cares for you and he is available for you. But you got to go to him. You got to run to him. That goes from the person that's here that has no belief, the person that's here that might have a belief, the person that's been a Christian for however many years. All of us, man, in the midst of it, are we experiencing God? The invitation is there for us to be able to experience God the way that we need. And so I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up, and we're going to sing a couple songs to be able to conclude our time, but just want you to know that this is time for you. And so if you need to just sit and you just need to keep praying, you need to talk to God, you need to repent of some things, you need to just ask him, God, this week is already too booked and I don't have any time in my schedule for you. You need to help me. Talk to him about it. I'm not here just trying to give you this self-help list of things to be able to make your life better. I'm trying to point you to the Lord. God has something for you. So don't settle for anything less than God himself. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are. Thank you that we can trust your mighty hand. And for each one of us, you know what each one of us are walking through. You know the heartache. You know the failures. You know the way that our bodies are broken down. You know the way that our families are a mess. You know all these things. And so, Father, the best that we know how, I pray that you would give us the ability to turn these things over to you, to cast these anxieties upon you because you care for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to experience you the way that each one of us needs to experience you today. Give us the faith to obey. It's in your name we pray. Amen.